Welcome to Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Schertl-Taub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Today, we're going to have another preview of a session at the 2018 Compliance Institute, which will be taking place in Las Vegas from April 15th through 18th. On April 16th, which is Monday from 11 to 12, there'll be a HIPAA update on enforcement, and it'll be given by Ileana Peters. Ileana is the former acting deputy for health information privacy at OCR, and she's soon to be starting as a shareholder at Polsinelli. Ileana, thank you for taking the time to join us and for doing the session.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'm looking forward to the conference as well.
So let's start out, you know, really with the heart of the matter. So what are some of the latest trends and patterns in HIPAA breaches? Because obviously that's a huge cause of concern for everyone in the compliance community.
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think things have changed a little bit over time, but not as much as I think we would expect them to. There aren't any really new risks or vulnerabilities that we're seeing that we haven't seen before, but I think the scale of them has changed. So, for example, when we talk about breaches by business associates, these were something that we may not have considered to be as serious an issue when the breach notification rule was first published. But as we've seen over the last few years, it really does become increasingly important that covered entities have good relationships with their business associates and have good contracts in place, because we are increasingly seeing breaches by business associates. And the business associates may or may not have a good idea of how to handle a breach when it happens. Given the nature of the business that they do for covered entities and other business associates, they hold very large amounts of data. So any breach by a business associate tends to be a lot more serious in terms of the number of individuals that it affects. So it's really important for covered entities to have a really good idea of who their business associates are, what kind of data that they are holding for them, how they want those business associates to protect that data, and also to work out before breach how the covered entity and or the business associate are going to handle that breach when it occurs. Because unfortunately, as I said, business associates are experiencing a large number of breaches, and many times the details aren't worked out beforehand. So at the moment that the breach happens, then the covered entity and the business associate are wasting valuable time trying to figure out who's going to do what with regard to figuring out what the breach is, what happened, who's going to do the forensics, who's going to notify not only individuals, perhaps the media, and then the regulators, state and federal, if the state regulator is applicable. So again, really important to keep in mind that business associates are experiencing breaches, that the scale of the breaches that they sometimes experience is quite large, and that it is really important to work out the details of how the covered entity or the business associate is going to handle those breaches when they do occur.
Well, and I think it's notable that healthcare is far from alone in this situation. You know, we've seen a number of high-profile breaches across industry where it wasn't, you know, the company with the big name, but the people that they were working with who were the ones where the breach was. So let's talk broader issues, too. So what are some of the latest directions from the OCR that compliance people need to be particularly aware of?
Sure, I think that's a great question. I think there's a couple of things. OCR published quite a bit of guidance pursuant to the Cures Act requirements, and in conjunction with the presidential mandate regarding opioid abuse. So there is a whole suite of new guidance on OCR's website that describes how healthcare professionals can work with patients and their families, both minor patients and adult patients, and their families and other caregivers, whether those are, you know, biological family members or friends, partners, whatever the situation may be, to really try and provide the best care to an individual with a substance use disorder. So these guidance documents range from flow charts to frequently asked questions that address, as I said, the relationship between parents and minors in these situations with regard to who can actually get protected health information in certain circumstances, the fact that OCR defers to professional judgment in these cases, that we really are looking for the professional to be making the determination about how the information should be shared in the best interests of the patient, and walking through all of those sticky situations that it's really for the benefit of the patient to have the individuals around them who are giving them care, who are involved in their care, to have the best information possible such that the individual can recover. And that's really important. So, as I said, these guidance documents provide really great details about how those interactions should occur. And in most cases, you know, the provider really can and should involve the friends, family, caregivers of the individual in their care. I think that's a misconception. It's one of those HIPAA myths that continues to persist, even though we've, you know, said over and over that there are these permissions in the rule where friends and family can, in fact, be involved in that care and get that information about the care that they're providing to the individual because they really need to have the best information to do that. But yet this myth persists. And we want to make sure that people understand that they can do this, except, of course, where the individual has objected. So if the individual patient says they've told their providers, I don't want my family members, I don't want my friends to know that I have this condition, obviously they have the right under the privacy rule to do that. But where they haven't, where they've involved their family members and friends, where they indicate that this is a completely appropriate situation to be occurring, then it really is important for providers to get those people involved. So as I said, there's a whole new set of guidance that really talks about how these information sharing interactions should occur. We hope people will use them. I think also that from the enforcement side of the house, it's really important to watch the website as well for additional information and guidance on, for example, not only cybersecurity, but also case resolutions that may be based on breaches related to cybersecurity. So there is a monthly newsletter that goes out from OCR that talks about cybersecurity issues, which is a really important thing to watch for because it's generally highlighting most recently occurring issues that we're seeing in our industry. So these are newsletters that are meant to be timely and really highlight compliance concerns that are ongoing with regard to cybersecurity. Given that most of the breaches that we're seeing, or many, I should say many of the breaches that we're seeing are related to cybersecurity incidents, and many of the breaches that we see now on OCR's website in terms of those that have resulted in settlement agreements and those that will be resulting in settlement agreements, I believe will be mostly related to breaches occurring to electronic protected health information, and those do include those from cyber risk. So it's important to watch for what OCR is highlighting in these monthly cyber newsletters as trends, and then watch for the new cases that come out on the OCR website because they're really meant to be instructive in terms of the ongoing compliance concerns, whether or not they're related to paper PHI, electronic PHI, and or cybersecurity incidents.
So you mentioned that there's a lot of cases that can be instructive. What is going on the enforcement side of things? Are there any recent cases in particular that people should really be looking at and asking the questions, gee, should I be concerned about this issue?
Sure. I think certainly the most recent case, which was in December, 21st Century Oncology, is particularly instructive because it really does highlight multiple issues for the industry. Certainly, this was, it's a very large entity. So 21st Century Oncology operates and manages hundreds of treatment centers in many different states. And, you know, they were having issues with their electronic protected health information compliance. So much like I've already mentioned, you know, the many of the cases that we're seeing have to do with issues regarding electronic protected health information and those breaches that we've been talking about on this podcast. So again, here in 21st century oncology, it's important to note that 21CO had ongoing breaches and had an ongoing breach situation, and they were alerted from the FBI that they had patient files that were purchased by an FBI informant. So it's always important to be working with your local law enforcement. The cyber guidance on OCR's website does talk about how you should be doing that. And it's, in this case particularly, illustrates that if you're not in contact with your local FBI office or your local law enforcement who is dealing with these issues, it's important that you should create that contact, because this may be a good first line of defense for you if and when you identify, you as in the covered entity or the business associate, identify a breach situation that may or may not be related to a cybersecurity incident, but also to keep that line of communication open in case they identify an ongoing breach that may involve your entity. So again, this is part of the guidance that OCR issued after WannaCry and the steps that entities should take if they are experiencing a cyber breach of some sort. And that does include information sharing as provided for by the rules with FBI law enforcement so that they have the best information they need to get the bad guy, so that the whole industry can be protected. So again, here is a very timely example of coordination between law enforcement and a covered entity that was experiencing an ongoing breach situation. It was a very, very large breach, over 2 million individuals. And again, 21CO had not done a good job of doing their risk assessment, their risk analysis that's required by the security rule as the foundation of their security compliance program. So, you know, starting there and then just moving through the risks that that were present in their enterprise, all of that information is in the documents that are on OCR's website. So any covered entity or business associate can take a look at what happened, what the potential violations were, how OCR expects 21CO and other entities to undertake their compliance program. The corrective action plan really walks through how that process should go, from risk analysis of all of the EPHI in the enterprise to risk management, to implementing policies and procedures appropriately, to training staff, to dealing with reportable events. All of those things are outlined in the corrective action plan that is available on the website, so anyone can take a look at it. And it's really, as I said, an instructive lesson in working with law enforcement as well, this particular case. It's also important to note that 21st Century Oncology was undergoing a reorganization in bankruptcy. So OCR dealt very closely with the bankruptcy court to make sure that 21st Century Oncology is positioned in the best possible way to emerge from bankruptcy with a good compliance program. So again, the point of this enforcement mechanism was really to ensure that this very large entity, who clearly had compliance issues, is best positioned when they're emerging from bankruptcy to be a better steward of their patients' data. And so that's really what the point of this case was. And as I said, I think it's instructive on many levels because of all of the details that are available to covered entities and business associates from the website.
Let's just close with sort of a looking towards the future, beyond the horizon question. Where do you think things are evolving next in terms of HIPAA?
You know, I think that's a great question. I think that there are a lot of questions that remain in the way that OCR coordinates with not only the Office of the National Coordinator, but also our friends and colleagues at the Federal Trade Commission and the state attorneys general in coordination on these types of cases. So there may be areas where, for example, the FTC or the state AGs are better positioned to move forward with enforcement on certain types of cases than OCR, depending on whether there's a jurisdictional issue, as with patient-facing organizations that hold health information. And obviously, that is right for the FTC. And they are, I think, doing more work in this area. And we coordinate the OCR will coordinate closely with them on that. And then, you know, certainly coordinating with the state AGs, there may be certain cases that are really more appropriate for state enforcement, and perhaps that is a better opportunity for a use of resources from a state and federal perspective on some of these cases that may be particularly important to a state AG in a particular state. So certainly, I think there are many issues along those lines. And then, of course, you know, there has been an increase in private sector litigation on harm associated with breach. And I really think that that's a trend that people should watch for, because, you know, the courts are really trying to sort out what harm means in any particular breach situation for the individuals that were affected, and how the entity can make them whole. So again, something to watch for as we move forward in this area.
Well, thank you for all of this. I mean, you've certainly given people a lot to think about in just a little less than 15 minutes. I can't imagine how great the hour is going to be. Again, for all of you listening, that's the HIPAA update/enforcement session, which will be on the privacy and IT compliance track on Monday, April 16th at the 2018 Compliance Institute in Las Vegas. Ileana, thank you again for taking the time to talk with us today and for putting on the session. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Adam Turteltaub saying I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspectives.